Go with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In the beginning of this chapter, as our brother just read to us, some Pharisees accused the disciples of not resting on the Sabbath. And the Lord set them straight by telling them, I am their Sabbath. They're resting on me. Verse 8 says, For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now let's read the verses again that will be our text for this morning. Verse 9 says, And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The last four verses there, they are quoting Isaiah 42, which is a glorious portion of Scripture. That is where the Father is declaring these things concerning the Son. And when I first was studying this and I was looking at this account, I thought that we would look at this man with the withered hand today, and then we would look at the quotation of Isaiah 42 next time. But as this opened up to me, as I started seeing this, I realized they are the beautiful explanation of one another. And I can't help but preach them together. And I believe you're going to see this. This is absolutely glorious. I have never seen this in this light before. And this is just wonderful to me. I want to begin by reading the actual verses in Isaiah 42. Turn with me, if you would, there. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, the heading at the top of my page says, This is the office of Christ. This is God the Father declaring Christ. He is announcing Christ. All right, verse 1, he says, Behold my servant. My servant. My servant. though Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God, equal with God the Father, equal with God the Son, equal with God the Spirit. That's what I meant to say. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself willingly the form of a servant. A servant of God. A servant for his people. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered for his people. And being made perfect, the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. God the Father said, "Behold my servant." Behold my servant. Verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect." God the Father said, "I choose him. I choose him. He is the one who is well-pleasing in my eyes. He is the only one worthy of my choosing. I choose him." We are only chosen in him. There is nothing well-pleasing about us in God's eyes. And I want to repeat that. There is nothing well-pleasing about us in God's eyes. The scripture says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is nothing about us that is worthy of his choosing. The scripture says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Christ is the worthy one. Christ is the worthy one. We are only worthy. We are only chosen. We're only accepted in him. That's it. In him. Verse 1 says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." What does that mean? We're about to find out. It goes on to say, "He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And this is I have about 12,000 favorite lines in the scripture, and this is one of them. Verse 4 says, "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Here is the glorious announcement concerning him. God the Father said, "He's coming to accomplish the work that I've sent him to do, and he shall not fail." And in the process of this particular work, he will not break one bruised reed, and he will not quench one smoking flax. What is a bruised reed? Don't turn, but a couple of chapters before this, in Isaiah 40, the Lord said, "All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. A reed is a blade of grass. It's a tall blade of grass. It spiritually represents a soul that has been brought down, a bruised reed. A soul that has been brought down, bruised to the point that it can't stand up proudly. You've seen bruised grass stepped on or laid down, bent down, humbled down. So bruised, all it can do is lay in the dust. That's it. Just lay there in its helpless state. Unable to do anything to lift itself back up. Does that remind you of anybody? That reminds me of me. That represents the sinful soul that has been cast down to a hopeless state. Bruised to a hopeless state. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall. That's me and that's you. And that's the truth. A lot of people don't know that. But that's me and that's you. Men and women naturally don't know that we are bruised grass. All flesh is grass before God. Just grass. That's all it is. Bruised. What is smoking flax? Smoking flax is a candle that all the fire has gone out. Our Lord said, "You are the light of the world." But that smoke comes when the fire goes out. As soon as the fire goes out, it just starts. No light left. No light left. Nothing but darkness. No warmth, no benefit, nothing to offer, just empty and extinguished. That is me, and that is you. That's me, and that's you. Spiritually, we have fallen to a bruised state of helplessness and emptiness, and we have no ability in ourselves to redeem us back to what we were. None whatsoever. And it's because of our sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unable, helpless, hopeless, all we can do is exist in our bruised and our dark state before God. That's where He found us when He came to us. That's where we were when He brought the gospel to us. That's who the gospel is for. That's who the gospel is for. The bruised and extinguished. To every soul who's in that state, the gospel comes and cries, "You will not be broken. Salvation has come to you. Behold my servant. I've sent him to you because you and every soul who is in that state with you, that's who I've chosen to save." That's the gospel. That's the gospel message. The gospel is all about what Christ came to do for bruised, helpless, darkened sinners. Look with me at Isaiah 61. The heading at the top of my page says, "The Office of Christ." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Not bruised reeds, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ said, that is the work that has been given to me. That's who the work is for, and I'm not going to fail in it. I'm not going to fail. And he didn't. And he gave us an example of that to prove that to us. In our text, our Lord walked up to a bruised reed. He looked over and he saw flax smoking. And he walked up to that man and he said, salvation has come to you. Go with me back over there to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 9, it says, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. Sometimes, this is important to know, sometimes our Lord heals our physical ailments and diseases, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. This has nothing to do with a physical healing. If God physically heals us, we thank him for it. But our number one prayer and desire and hope is that he will heal our spiritual sickness. That's what we need. This represents a spiritual healing. This is the spiritual condition of every child of God when Christ comes to him or her. This is the spiritual salvation he brings. In this man's ailment, he was dead. His hand was dead. When it says he had a withered hand, that means his hand was dead. There was no life there. There was no ability there. That hand could do nothing. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? He's calling them hypocrites. He said, if one of your own sheep fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, because of your selfishness, you would lift it out. You wouldn't want to leave your sheep in that pit. You would lift it out and you would lie to yourself and convince yourself that you didn't break the law on the Sabbath day. But he said, because of your pride and your self-righteousness, you won't do that for another man. You'll leave that man there. Proud grass, a proud reed. That's what he said they were. Proud grass gets cut down. Verse 11 says, he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. He said, you would lay hold of your sheep and lift it out. And he said, so will I. That's my sheep. And I'm going to deliver him from going down to the pit because I found a ransom. Verse 13, then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all on the Sabbath day. He healed them all. They just kept coming, and he just kept healing them. Verse 16, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Our Lord brings salvation to every one of his fallen sheep. Everyone who have fallen into the pit of sin and despair and death, he lays hold of every one of his sheep and he lifts them out. From this account, we can see how our Lord deals with his sheep and delivers his sheep. From how the Lord dealt with this man, we can see how our Lord deals with his people in salvation every single time. All right? Let me give you a few things here. I'm headed toward closing. I'm not going to take too long. Number one, based on how our Lord dealt with this man, we can see that there is no free will in salvation. Man does not have a free will in determining whether or not he is going to be saved. If this man had a free will to heal himself, he would have already been healed, and he would not have needed Christ to come do it for him. The fact of the matter is, this man remained in his condition until God came to him and healed him of it. Now, I want to make this so clear. I want to make this so clear. Imagine this man with his hand, okay? This man could have gone around telling everybody, I have decided that my hand works now. Okay? He could have gone around telling everybody, I have decided that my hand works now. Telling everybody, let it be known to everybody, my hand works. And that would not have changed the condition of his hand. He could go tell everybody. Just tell everybody. That would not have changed one thing about the condition of his hand. Men and women can go around telling everybody, I have decided to be saved. I'm saved. That does not change their condition before God one bit. Men and women can go shout that from the mountaintops. I'm saved. Why are you saved? Because I want to be. Do you think that man wanted his hand to be healed or not? No, I prefer it to just stay like that. I want to be saved, and I've decided I'm going to be saved. Therefore, I'm saved. Changes nothing. Changes nothing. We are fallen. We are bruised. We are dark. We are sinful. That's how we are before God. And we can go around saying, telling everybody, I'm not that. It doesn't change anything. There is no free will of man in salvation. The only way that salvation comes is by God bringing it to a sinner and working it in a sinner. That's the only way. That is the only way. It is God's will alone. It is God's will alone. God's people are taught this, and they say, it's not my will, it's your will. What's going to happen to me? Well, that's not my decision, that's your decision. It's God's will alone. That man was at the mercy of the Lord. That man was at the mercy of the Lord coming to him, passing by his way, being willing to do this for him. That man was at the mercy of the Lord. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. His will. All right, that's the first thing. Number two, there is no offer in salvation. The Lord did not offer him anything. The Lord did not ask him anything. In the other accounts, if we went to Mark and Luke, it says that the Lord said to him, stand up. He didn't give him an option in the matter. He said, this is happening to you. This is happening to you. So there's no free will in salvation. There is no offer in salvation. Number three, there is no cooperative effort in salvation. The Lord said to this man, stretch forth your hand. That man couldn't do that. That man had spent his whole life knowing. He can't do that. You take the first step, God will take the second. No, that's not so. Man can't do that. Not a lame man, not a walk up to a casket and say, if you'll take the first step, I'll take the second. That man can't do that. With that man, it's impossible. This is no cooperative effort. That was all the Lord's doing. That man could tell you, my brain has tried to make that hand work. I can't do it. He knew that's the Lord's work. It is God which worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. So there's no free will in salvation. There is no offer in salvation. There is no cooperative effort in salvation. Salvation is a sovereign command. He says to the blind, look. He says to the dead, live. When God Almighty sends that command forth, it produces an immediate response to the one it's given to. He said, stretch forth your hand. The end of verse 13 says, he stretched it forth. Immediately. He stretched forth his hand. When God cried, Lazarus, come forth. boom, he that was dead came forth. When God cries, believe. We believe. When God said, David, seek my face. David cried, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Where salvation is purposed, salvation comes. It comes. And it comes perfectly. And it comes completely. I want to emphasize this word right here. It is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of verse 13 says, his hand was restored whole, just like the other one. It wasn't a work in progress. It wasn't like, okay, well, that's the first surgery and there's going to be six more surgeries to follow. And if you will go to rehab and you'll start working on it, you can, you know, you'll get some. No. He said, stretch forth your hand, and it was whole, perfectly, completely finished, done, just like the other one. God the Father said, behold my servant. Bruised reeds and smoking flax. You know, not everybody's a bruised reed. You know that? Not everybody's smoking flax. A man wrote, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has to make a man or a woman realize he or she is a sinner before God. They don't know that. They don't know that. You ask them, are you a bruised reed and smoking flax? Oh, no, not me. If God's Holy Spirit comes and reveals the truth and they cry, oh, dear God. And they fall before him. And all the light that they thought was in them becomes darkness. Bruised reeds. And if there's any bruised reeds or smoking flax in here this morning, God the Father says, behold my servant. Behold what he's going to do. Just look at what he's going to do. Because he's going to do it for you. And he's not going to fail. He is going to lift you up. He is going to give you light, the light of Christ. And he's going to do it justly. And he's going to do it rightly. And he's going to do it perfectly. And he's going to do it completely. Behold the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father said, he is my glorious servant. The successful healer and savior of my people. Just behold him. Look to him. If you are a bruised reed or smoking flax, look to him. If you need a savior, look to him. All right, Brother Eddie, you've come.